B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Seconds left. Nordstrom drives it out to center ice, and the horn is going to sound here at TD Garden. The Boston Bruins come from behind, a four-goal outburst in the third period, aided by two power play strikes early in that final stanza, have taken game one of the Eastern Conference Final by a score of 5-2 over the Carolina Hurricanes.
All right, game one in the books. Bruins take it 5-2, as you just heard on the final call last night. Judd Surratt on 98.5, the Sports Hub. That's a big win. That's a really important win for the Bruins because I didn't think it was their night, to be quite honest with you, at the end of the second period.
Until they woke up, and boy, did T-Bone call it. Give T-Bone a lot of credit. He said, it's going to be a huge third period for the Bruins. I'm like, I'm giving them 10 minutes.
That felt like a bonus win out of the gate for the Bruins.
Felt like a throwaway, didn't it?
Felt like a bonus win. A bonus 1-0 lead that they have in this series.
What did Judd say about George Costanza at the end of the call there? What did he say, Jim? Yeah, efforting that. I thought he said something about George Costanza. You know, they get the quick one. You think, okay, here they go. They're going to roll.
Aided by two power play strikes early in that final stanza.
Oh, okay. Got it. Thanks, Judd. Yeah. I thought the Bruins had them early, and they were going to run away with it. And then, you know, Carolina counters, and then all of a sudden you're starting to watch it, and like, what's that guy's name? And a big problem for me, I want Montreal, I want Chicago, I want Pittsburgh, I want the Caps, I want the Lightning.
You don't want the Hurricanes?
It doesn't do anything for me.
All right, let's get to the name you know. Dougie Hamilton. I think it's the story of the night. We have our guy to hate.
Yeah.
We knew this going in. We discussed it yesterday. I think this is the story coming out of the game. We have the guy that we now have the guy with the target on his back, the guy we can all hate.
What a puss.
The guy we can boo. The guy we can just, by the end of the series, be so happy that he lost after last night's game.
The middle of that second period. Stop it. The middle of that second period then on. Started to get some detest for this team, which is good. It's something that I need. Like the hit by Stahl, and then Dougie standing there, I don't agree with any of the penalties called against me tonight. Well, maybe your mom and dad could call the league and complain to them. And maybe they could call them back and leave a message on their machine at the hotel while you're sleeping on the floor next to them. You're right. You got an enemy now. And it's the big red-headed freak. He's got a mullet now. You see it? Long hair in the back?
Yeah.
Little curls.
Yep.
Was he Yager?
Dad, I don't care about his mullet. Whatever. You can talk about his mullet, but I care about what he had to say after the game, after he took two penalties in the game, including a penalty that sent him the box that then Patrice Bergeron ended up having the game winner on, and he goes to the box crying and whining about it after the game. Let's hear him after the game, and then we'll get back to the actual penalty that was called on him. Go ahead.
I just watched both of them, so I didn't agree with either, so... Not much else to say. It's the game's over now, and nothing you can do about it now.
Doug, was part of the penalties undisciplined, or was it unfortunate?
I don't think they're penalties, so neither.
Did you get an explanation for them?
No.
Is it harder to lose a game like this when you're, you know, have that plus the lead going into the third?
Yeah, for sure. It stings. I think obviously we know we can be better, obviously, but it stings when you lose like that for sure.
Oh. Did Daddy call the league office after the game last night to help maybe get an explanation?
I hope he did. Get him ice cream after
I hope
the game.
He did.
Give me some ice cream. I'll feel better.
Oh, no.
Those were pretty soft calls.
No, they weren't.
The extension one, I don't like.
No, they weren't. Do you know that?
You can't extend.
Do you know that the first one?
Playoffs, Beetle. Playoffs.
I'm going to tell you why I don't feel bad about those calls and why last night's calls on Doug Hamilton. I'm going to call him Doug. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Doug.
Didn't someone chastise
call
us
me Douglas.
A long time ago? It's like, you guys don't even know him. He doesn't go by Dougie. It's Doug.
I'm going to call him Doug then. You want to go by Doug? We'll call you Doug.
I got a name for him.
Last night's penalties on Doug, in a weird way, made me feel better about Charlie McAvoy's suspension.
Whoa.
Do you want me to put that together for you? Can I do that?
No, I got it.
Oh, I understand what you're saying.
All right, they're calling it this way. Okay.
If you are going to go ahead and say, we got to take any sort of hits to the head out of the sport at all costs.
This is good.
That's what we have to do, right? Well, then you know what you also have to do? You have to keep the legitimate hockey plays in the sport that don't involve head contact. And when you have a guy along the boards who's going to squirm out of a hit because he's too soft to take a check along the boards, and instead of just taking a check along the boards, he's going to jump up and throw his elbow back into a guy's face, then yeah, that's going to be a penalty.
Good.
And I don't care if it's the regular season or the playoffs.
You're right.
If you're a crybaby and you can't take a check in the National Hockey League in the playoffs, that's why I hate the argument. In the playoffs, you're going to call that? In the playoffs, you should be tough enough to take a check along the boards when a guy's making a play for the
bar. You're that size and you play child, the position you play.
You big baby. Right. What are you, 12? You can't take a hit? How long have you been playing in this league? What, you couldn't take a hit along the boards? And now you're going to cry about it after the game?
I agree with
Dougie,
that.
Take the hit. Take the hit, and there's no penalty there. Try to skate away from it if you want to avoid it. Don't jump up and wave your elbow back. Were you going to fly away? Is that what were you going to do there? What was the plan there, Dougie?
Get off
on the
me.
On the whole, I would rather. I'd rather.
Get off me! What is that?
Is there a bee on me?
That's a bee!
I hate the bee!
What is that crap?
On the whole, I'd rather see less calls in the postseason than the
What is that? Dougie, that should be a penalty every time.
He's so afraid.
What is that? Grow up, Dougie. Take the hit. It's big boy hockey now. You're playing professional hockey in the National Hockey League at the highest levels in the Eastern Conference Finals. Take the check, and there's no penalty call there.
Yep.
You stay out of the box. I don't feel bad for you.
Hardy, what are you saying about the postseason?
Do you want to see more calls in the postseason or fewer calls?
Fewer.
If you wanted to err on one side or the other, which do you want?
I want guys to play the game the right way.
I didn't like there was a call.
Answer the question. Do you want to see more calls? Do you want to see them err on the side of making too many calls or fewer calls?
If Charlie McAvoy is going to get suspended.
Can't answer the question.
If he's going to get suspended, which is the way the sport's going to go.
Right.
If you want to suspend your best defenseman,
right.
Which is not going to change. Then when that happens,
eye for an eye.
You got to call it that way.
Would you rather see them err on the side of calls like that or not making calls like that?
In general, if I could change the entire sport,
I would rather they not have the calls that way.
That's it. That's why I
no respect for a guy who plays the game that way.
Was it borderline?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Borderline calls, you don't call them in the playoffs. I'm not breaking new ground here. For you to try and defend it and say, like, that's the right way to do it and, you know, square them out of it, it's like, no, that goes against everything that practically everyone who watches hockey wants and thinks about this sport. You don't want that called in the postseason. It benefited your team, but you're focusing on the call.
What about the way the guy plays the game? That goes against everything at this time of year, too. That's not how you play at this time of year, the way Dougie Hamilton played. Forget the rest. Let's focus on the players.
Well, I can't do
anything. Is that how you want guys to play at this time of year?
I can't do anything about the way he plays.
You can't do anything about the way the refs call the game either.
Yeah,
you have no control over that. The same way you can't control the players.
If I'm wishing for one thing or the other, yeah, I don't wish for him to do that, but I don't wish for that call either.
Okay, so they're the same thing, whether you're talking about the players or the refs.
I'm not defending the call at all. I'm not defending that particular call. Not defending the borderline calls being called in the postseason.
Well, I am certainly not going to defend the player for bitching about the call. I'm not going to do that either. He's a crybaby.
Yeah.
You want to avoid that call being made? You could have easily avoided that call being made, is my point on Dougie Hamilton last night. If you don't want that call to be made, don't open yourself up to that call being made. The only guy responsible for that call being made is the player. That's it. The player could have easily avoided that happening last night. And all the crying that he did, and those who did crying for him after the game, it was ridiculous. Oh, it was so ridiculous. And then he got another one, which is another thing that I have zero respect for. When you have two guys that are engaged on the puck, and then he comes in and goes, oh, yeah. No, he's a real tough player.
He's
so soft.
Two little kids, I'll take your lunch money.
He's such a soft player.
What do you have, two hits? What do you have, a total of two hits in that game? Two legitimate hits?
We have our guy to hate. That's what I know about this series. It's going to be fun because of it. The Dougie chance last night.
Oh, it's
awesome.
Great. Hey, in all fairness.
Awesome.
You people in the low seats, you brought it. Your people are up. You're on the feet. You're hitting the glass. Some guy got whacked through the glass somehow.
How did that happen?
I don't know, but he was so excited.
How did that happen?
The Bruins players, it's like when you're at the zoo.
I think that guy was falling before he came over there. Everyone's like, oh, he knocked him off the glass.
No, I understand, but what? Where was he? Because he seemed
standing up on a chair, or standing up on that little ledge.
I want to believe that it was a pre-planned celebration.
He was
I don't
falling
think it was.
Down and back, but he was falling
was
like
perfect
up
timing.
The aisle.
You ever take your kids to the
I've
zoo?
I've never seen anything like that in my life.
Take your kids to the zoo
like,
and stick
where
them
was
right,
he? Where
right
was
in front
he
of the polar
from?
Bear. Right in front of the polar bear window. And when that polar bear comes freaking flying and he attacks the window, watch your kids do the same thing.
We have our enemy. Back. We have our enemy in this series. It's Dougie Hamilton. We didn't know if it would develop, but it did. Game one.
Doug.
Arr, bitching about the referees after game one.
I didn't agree with anyone.
Here's an idea.
Answer your question, because I didn't agree
Here's
with
an idea. Just take a check.
I'm not going to agree with
you. You're a big guy. You can take it. You can handle it. Instead of trying to cower in the corner. Jumping up, trying to fly away.
Is he running with his brother on the road? Did they sign his brother too?
He's gonna fly away. He's trying to flap his wings there along the boards.
I want my brother.
Like it was like he was gonna take off.
Let's call him Pat.
The big turkey was trying to take off along the boards. He catches Nordstrom right in the face with an elbow. Here's an idea. Don't do that. And then you don't open yourself up to that call. And then you don't have to put another team on the power play. And then Patrice Bergeron doesn't score the game winner. And then you know what, though? It's not really the reason you lost the game, because then you gave up two more and you lost by three goals last night. So it's sort of hard to pin the loss on those penalties, because then you had a fourth liner in Wagner making your goalie look silly, just making him look silly down there. Nice goal. Really nice goal. So we've got our guy. We've got our guy to complain about. 617-779-0985. Your thoughts on the
Douglas.
Bruins. Yeah, Douglas, you've got your thoughts on game one. Bruins win 5-2. We're on to game two. Sunday, 3 o'clock start. We're talking about it with you next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Collision in the center zone. Sean Corrali and Andre Svechnikov. Svechnikov face first on the ice. The arm is up. I believe Boston will be penalized here. We'll see. Dan O'Rourke is making the call. 17:19 left in this third period.
That was eons away from where the puck is. Well, I'm surprised. Well, you have to make a judgment if you're the officials, Jeanette and or Dan O'Rourke. If Svechnikov is hurt, of course, we know he had a concussion in the first round. Oh, my gosh, they're calling a penalty on Dougie Hamlin. The hit from Corrali was textbook interference, not even close to the puck. Horrible hit. You cannot make that call. And they're going to penalize Carolina, Dougie Hamilton, for coming in support of Svechnikov.
That's the second call, the second penalty that went against Dougie Hamilton.
Oh, my gosh. Campino
Carolina, Carolina Radio. Very professional call.
They're from Minnesota.
Where do they import those guys from? They don't sound like they're from Raleigh. Where'd they get them from? Listen, I know we're not supposed to talk about the accents, you know.
Steady anymore. Eddie drips. I know. It's just boring. Like Toucher and Rich had a gun. He was boring.
We've drawn plenty of attention to the station this week talking about the accents and
hello
down south.
But no, they're Minnesotian.
I mean,
it's more like Hardy.
Where'd they get that play-by-play guy? He's like straight out of Syracuse, man. Wow. That is professional. Wow.
There's a Greek guy from
they didn't like that call either, huh?
Game power play is 4-for-38 in the playoffs. Only
there we go. We got all the details. The power play is 4-for-38. 3:37 left here in the second period.
He sounds Syracuse trained, that guy. He does.
So Tom said during the regular season they do a simulcast, TV, radio.
Oh, well, that would explain why it sounds a little bit like that, too.
Different, a little different call, yeah.
617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Dougie Hamilton with a couple of penalties late in the game. Let's get to your calls. Paul's in New Hampshire. He's been hanging on. We got open lines, well, if you want to grab one. Paul, what do you got?
Hey, guys, what's going on? I'm going to try not to swear this time. I'm going to use crap. Is that a swear?
Did you swear last time?
They said I did. I didn't think I did, but...
What word did you say?
Began with an S.
Okay, don't say that.
Yeah, you know you can't say it.
But I'm going to use crap instead of that.
Right.
I think there were crap calls on both sides. I don't think that's what decided the game. I think we were very lucky to walk away with the win. I think we dinged their goalie. I think it's great that we did that, but I'm more worried about Chara. I thought that was the last we were going to see him all season.
Yeah, he didn't move that great when he came back either.
He got hit right on his foot. I mean, he's lucky he doesn't have a broken bone there. He may still have a broken bone. I mean, he got hit pretty good right there.
Could you imagine the primal scream if you were at ice level when he got bent over backwards and you see it? Like ankle shattered. Then he barely gets to the side. They take him down. And then Doc Emmerich comes back and just no sign of Zdeno Chara. And I'm like, oh, God, you're down already McAvoy. You'd be down Chara. Could be extended. Could be a long period of time. And then, boom, the big 6'9" freak comes skating out. He looks good. Okay. Whew. Dodged a bullet there. That thing hit him square, man. I thought initially it hit him dead square in the chest. Almost like it blew a hole through his chest. I didn't know it hit his foot until the replay. But, yeah. It's funny, he and McAvoy, man, two shots to the ankle.
Ralph is in Cranston. Ralph, go ahead.
Hey, guys. You know, I'm not a big hockey fan. I'm watching it, and I'm rooting for the Bruins. You know,
I'm
not a huge hockey fan, but this is such a breath of fresh air. You know, and it's almost poetic justice how these Bruins are playing, coinciding with the Celtics, how they looked, you know, the way they bowed out. And you don't see that in hockey. You're seeing 100% every time these guys step on the ice. You don't see the interviews after the game of me, I, with sunglasses on, not even saying, well, maybe I shouldn't wear them either. This is such a breath of fresh air. The Bruins are like, you know, there's no pretentiousness to you. They're playing so well. The Celtics should learn by this and say, this is the way you play. You have to play this game and you have to do it the right way. Like Havlicek always did it. You know, you play.
No, you could do this for years with hockey, guys. You go back 25 years. 25 years.
You lead by example, guys.
Okay, thanks. You know? Yeah, 30 years since I've been here. Like, the hockey guys are the most real guys. We're the same. The last time you get a prick, if anything, you get a little crispy. Marchand, a little bit.
Did you think they played that well last night?
No, we thought they.
I'm not doing cartwheels over this particular win. I'm glad they won. They did what they had to do. They did everything that, as I think T-Bone said it before the show. It's like you did what you were supposed to do.
You take
advantage of power plays that maybe were on questionable calls.
As this game went on, I think what opened our eyes is this isn't Sergei Bobrovsky. You're not facing, even going back to Anderson, you're not facing goalies like you did in the last two rounds.
But is the top line, like, back yet?
No.
Bergeron had the goal. It was power play. And about Marchand, a couple of assists. Okay, good. I'm happy with all that
stuff.
They
seem more into it than they did a couple games ago. Yeah.
Who were your goal scorers last night? Who was being celebrated at the end of the game? Who was the number one star of the game last night? Do you know?
No, I don't know who it was.
Wagner?
It's a good guess. Your first goal scorer, I believe. Yeah. I'm going to go back and double check. But it's not Pastrnak.
You didn't even know who it was. You weren't even sure.
That's kind of the point. It's like, how successful can they continue to be?
They're third and fourth line.
Camper is the top star of the game.
I'm going to double check. Tuukka was number two, I think. And again, it's stars of the game. Does it really matter?
I hate stars of the game.
It tells you a little something.
Johansson was the first star.
Johansson.
JoJo.
Can't forget the podium, though.
Big.
What an awful podium.
I'm happy. Happy for Camper. Happy for Johansson. His number one star of the game. I'd feel a little bit better if the number one stars last night were either, you know, and Tuukka played well. Tuukka did everything he had to. It was not a dominant performance. Second period was bad. Again, that's those second period blues for this team. You can't give away the middle 20. You can't go out there and just play these. Think what you want about Carolina. They're legit. Took care of the Islanders when nobody thought they were going to. The Capitals? The Capitals not a soft team. This is a team that, you know, got here for a reason. You continue to give away that middle period against this team, and they're going to score 2-3 goals on you that you're not going to be able to come back from, especially when you don't have David Pastrnak out there scoring. Marchand, again, with the assists, I'll give him credit for those, but it's not enough. It did not feel like a 5-2 win last night. Two goals, 7 seconds with
it kind of got away from it. It got away from them.
It felt like got out of there with a 3-2 win.
You're right about second period, though. It's like, here we go again. It's like, I got the second period blues.
Yeah. You factor.
Got the penalty kill again. We can't score goals. Down 2 goals to them. Got the second period blues. Yeah. No, not really. I can't do jazz. Is that jazz?
That's blues.
The blues.
12-bar blues.
I need the washing board with the spoon and the...
It's not the blues. And a trombone?
Or the boo-doo-doo-doo. It's a bass, right?
Washboard.
Bass guitar. I'm thinking of a junkyard band.
You're thinking of Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
I'm thinking that or...
Ain't no hole in the wash tub.
It always goes back to the bear tune. They poked a bear last night, Country Bear Jamboree. I could sit there, and we sit there front row. We go to Disney. I say, Country Bear Jamboree is my favorite thing ever. Mm. Look at them bears up there standing up, upright, playing the guitar. That one over there eating honey. It's funny as hell.
It's the songwriting. Animals. It's the songwriting more than anything.
Yeah, it's the rhythm.
More than the performance, I think.
Yep. Welcome to the Carolina series. Did you take a call?
They can play that exact same way on Sunday and lose 4-2. You know?
So. Well, no, not necessarily.
I just think they're better than this team.
They can play that exact set. They can play bring out the same level of play and lose that game on Sunday.
No, because
and lose the next
game. It was really only one period that was bad.
And that's what I'm saying. Put up 2 goals for Carolina in that period, and all of a sudden the script is practically
flipped.
You're
sort of discounting that third period. Carolina didn't play so well.
The last 2 goals, they were big. They were big. But number one, you're talking about an empty netter.
Yeah.
So
I almost nailed it 4-2 ahead.
Which wasn't even a shot. It just kind of squirted through and fell in on its own. Just saying.
Okay, 4-2.
There's a reason why people aren't like dancing in the streets after that win. Or there's a feeling like, ooh, that we're going to roll right over them. Not based on that. You could win the series. Keep playing like that. You could also lose a couple of games and get pushed to 7, and then you know it, anything happens.
Hardy, I don't totally disagree with you. I said it felt like a bonus win. The Bruins did not play their best game last night, and they started out the series with a 1-0 lead and a 5-2 win. So what happens if the Bruins play well?
If they play well,
they should blow doors.
That's sort of how I look at it.
I'm looking
at
it
glass half full.
Let's get some
Bruins
rest.
All of a sudden show up on Sunday and play well, oh, then forget it.
Yep.
They could blow this team away.
I know. I mean, we got a ton of calls. We're going to get to them. Something happened last night during the game, too.
What happened?
We're getting some content ripped off by people that we work with, which I'm not too happy about. My man T-Bone works his tail off. Somebody took T-Bone's stuff and made it theirs.
And this is what you want to talk about?
I just don't think it's cool. That's all.
All right, so we're going to talk about that one next?
Yeah.
Okay.
Real quick.
All right.
Because I think we got our nice little videos during the goals that we do.
Okay.
It's kind of our thing, right?
All right.
It's our thing. Tebow made it our thing.
Okay.
Thank you, Tom.
All right.
Got your back.
Do that next.
Down two goals to them. Got the second period blues. Yeah. Is that Chaz?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Black and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Camper out the center, Martin Hooker. Hand off for Greg McKegg, busting in far wing. His shot, they score! Rask had it, he lost it, no signal. We'll have to see what they do with this. The net came dislodged. It looked like it crossed the line. A power move by Greg McKegg on the far wing. And I think that'll count. We'll have to see here.
John, you are absolutely right, because Camper is the reason for the collision and the net being dislodged.
The gypsy woman told my mother before I was born, you got a boy child coming, gonna be a son of a gun. He gonna make pretty women jump and shout.
All right, before we get back to the calls, what's your issue with the Tom or something? Twitter, what?
My man T-Bone. So we've been doing this for what now, about a series or so?
Mm-hmm.
When the Bruins score a goal, there are clips throughout our show, or maybe other shows here, that Tom takes his phone out and goes to the feed of the NBC Sports Boston video of our show or other shows. And he gets his little iMovie app out, his little thing. And he makes a little, what do they call that, a GIF? A GIF? Little movie, and it goes,
no,
flashes goal,
nope,
G-O-A-L, goal. Well, it's a little movie, whatever.
They're movies.
And it's
video clips.
And it's the Zombie Nation. And it's like us, woo, or it's me on the ice. And we've been promoting it from your Twitter, my Twitter, Hardy's Twitter. But T-Bone does it all. Like, there's the scary Terry. Ooh, scary Terry from yesterday. Ooh, boo, boo.
Okay.
And we tweet them out as soon as they score a goal. Then all of a sudden I see like at 985 The Sports Hub actually took the video, saved it, and tweeted it out as their own. It didn't credit Tom. That's copyright infringement.
No.
No?
Now, as a matter of fact,
that's rude then was what it is.
Tom, as an employee of The Sports Hub, anything he creates
yeah.
is essentially property of the radio okay. station.
So they can just do that then.
They can just okay. do whatever wow. they want.
So we need to do is put a Tom T.
Now, if T-ball. He wants
what
to,
we need to do is put a wants, watermark.
Watermark,
on.
Zolak and Bertrand watermark.
Let's do that. We're going to do that.
T-Bone watermark.
Get on it. We're going to solve the problem.
Show logo in the corner.
We're going to solve the problem.
That's what we're going to do.
Supposedly, Felger and Maz did it too.
They did too. Now that to me is an issue.
The one of Felger in the studio. Woo! Same one. Tom did.
This is where we need our. Help from our friends at NBC Sports Boston.
Usually it's the TV part. You people at NBC Sports Boston, you know, when you used to do the double banger shows, the 6:30 and the 10, used to steal our stuff all the time, ideas, and create their little sit-downs. Same thing. Maybe rephrase the
Well, that's
word.
Intellectual property. This is, you know, actual content, but if they could, like, superimpose just down in the corner, Tom's face, you know, because now you're getting into high-skilled video editing.
It's
going to
cover the whole screen.
Or just, you know, a little, you know, T-Bone and just have that kind of flashing in different parts of the screen.
I have a picture of a T-Bone steak.
That would work too. Just superimpose the T-Bone steak down in the corner. Mm. Everybody's like, oh, what's that? Well, it's a T-Bone, mate. That's a T-Bone joint.
Yep. The Michael Scott production.
Join the Bruins for a pregame playoff fan fest for game two starting Sunday at 12:30 on Canal Street across from TD Garden.
Nice.
There will be music, games, prizes, photo opportunities,
alcohol,
and a variety of activities. Admission is free. You do not need a ticket to the game to attend the Fan Fest. Learn more at bostonbruins.com/playoffsfanfest. bostonbruins.com/playoffsfanfest is where you go for that information. What?
Nothing.
Oh,
But he was talking to me.
Who?
Jim.
Oh, okay. Jack in Worcester on last night's game. Go ahead, Jack.
Hi, Jack.
Hey, gents. How you doing?
Good.
I had a quick point to make, and Zolak, you seem super knowledgeable in the realm of hockey, so maybe you can answer this. what was the similarity, or what are the similarities between the 2011 team and the 2019 team that we're seeing right now?
I'll
just answer it for you. Well, the similarities are depth, right? We have 1, 2, 3, and 4. All four lines are producing. The defensive portion of the team are playing better than ever.
Do you remember, real quick, Rod, I don't mean to cut you up, but do you remember the final, like, 2 minute or 1 minute of periods where Tim Thomas would let in a goal and it would just frustrate the hell out of you and they would have to scratch and claw and come back? I think the resiliency, too, from that year to this year are similar.
Absolutely.
Something the Celtics didn't have. You know, they face adversity, they punch it back, and they still scrap.
I would say the depth on this team, though, in terms of offensive skill, is better than the depth then, which is more of a reflection of how the league is going.
Yeah. Different coaching style, too.
I would agree with that for sure. The offensive depth on this team is unparalleled. The fact of the matter is everyone's putting up points. Everyone is applying their most effort to the team, and that's why you see guys like Kampfer come in who had like 3 NHL games this season, and he puts one in the back of the net right off the bat. So I just think it's a different team.
Look how young those guys are, too. You know, you go back to when, I know Char's age now, 42. We all know that. We know what Tuca is and all that. But those guys, you take 8, 9 years off it, and they've played a lot of hockey since then. So they shouldn't be flustered by anything. And I think that's maybe even a better trait that they have that team probably didn't have. And I know you had some core veterans like Recchi and stuff that you brought in that helped bolster it. You know, Tomas Cabrera, all that stuff. But this team's been around the block a little bit. And they've incorporated it with a nice mix of the youth to add that depth. They are different, Beetle, like you talk about, but I think the coaching styles are different, too. The way Claude played and the way he put it to pack it in and sort of play his guys. Cassie, I think, you know, if you're not playing well, I'll move you around. I'll give you the hook. Claude wouldn't do that. Accountability. I think they hold the team accountable. They hold each other accountable.
Hey, great that Stephen Kampfer was able to contribute last night. Come Sunday, right back to the ninth floor. Bye.
I'm saying. It's like, I'm happy that they've got the depth. I'm happy guys like that are scoring goals. As long as the other guys are scoring goals too. As long as, you know, your top line doesn't go AWOL or your top two lines don't go AWOL on the score sheet. Or even like, you know, goals from, you know, I'll take it. Of course, take 4-2 win. Would I feel a little bit better if instead of, and it doesn't even have to be Pastrnak or Marchand who pots the first one. Even if it's like someone... I'm a little more comfortable with knowing is going to be there in the next game. If Torrey Krug could score the goal, I'm like, oh, okay, good. There's your offensive defenseman, you know, putting one in for you. That makes sense. That's sustainable. That's repeatable. Beetle, you just said it. Where's Kampfer going to be on Sunday?
Ninth floor. Enjoy the popcorn.
Right. Oh, awesome. Thank you for helping us. What? I wish they didn't need him to help get the win. That's all. It's an anomaly, but we've seen it a lot already in this postseason. We've seen stuff like that happen a lot already. And if it continues all the way through the cup final, awesome. Prove me wrong, and it's like you can actually win that way. I just don't know if the team itself is comfortable winning games like this repeatedly.
That's okay, Hardy, because they've only got 7 more wins to go.
Isn't that amazing?
To bring home the cup.
It's unreal.
They've only got 7 more to go. So they don't have to win in a variety of different ways.
They just have to win.
We want the cup. I heard it.
First time.
Good crowd last night. Better than what we've had recently. Good job.
Nice job, Chris.
Good job, everybody. Good job.
Seems attainable.
You've woken up.
It doesn't seem like a pipe dream.
No
pipe dream.
It's not.
You think like, oh, all you got to do is get there, and Carolina's waiting for you. Did you really know what Carolina was going to be until we saw him last night?
Yeah.
Did you watch a lot of Hurricanes hockey this season?
I don't think they did.
Hardy, they had one of their mediocre games last night, and they won.
I know.
Yeah. It's a good thing.
What was the series? 1-1-1. They faced them 3
without
times
without their best defenseman on the ice. Yeah. They won.
It's only with up you, though. Here, I don't think they know him too well, but now they'll settle in.
These are the anti-Celtics, Hardy. The anti-Celtics, the Bruins. Coming up next, we're giving away yet another copy of Three Games to Glory. And don't forget, we're giving away Bruins tickets at 11:50 today. We have a pair of Bruins tickets to give away a little more than an hour from now, but we're giving away Hall of Fame passes to the Patriots Hall of Fame next, along with a copy of Three Games to Glory. We're taking your calls all day long on everything from the week. Some football items to get to. We'll do that next, okay, Zo?
Sounds good to me.
Don't go.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Caller 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a copy of Three Games to Glory 6, along with four passes to the Hall at Patriot Place, all courtesy of the New England Patriots Pro Shop. The Pro Shop is open 7 days a week or online at PatriotsProShop.com. Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
We got to the Kansas City part of it, the AFC Championship game.
Who's
watching
we?
The other day, my kid. It is... The Kansas City stuff is almost better than the Super Bowl stuff because that was the game. You know, that was the game of that run. Yeah, it was better than the Super Bowl.
That's the game they said they featured a lot of your stuff, right? That's what you told us.
Yeah, but it was better game.
It was a better game.
And
like,
more exciting win.
Shoot, I totally forgot. Like, they were up big. Then they got down in that game at the end. Like, you forget the switch in the score, and then you match it. They get the field goal there, and it's later. We want the ball. It just, as soon as you get that damn heads call, bam. And then just a drive. 3 third-and-10s they hit at the end of that. It's unbelievable. And they couldn't stop it. Never adjusted.
All right, a couple Patriots items. Ben Watson planning to sign with the Patriots. It's 1 year, $3.5 million. Can earn up to, what's the total number?
Probably six.
Somewhere around six with some incentives
thrown in
there.
Usually double that, yeah.
Probably not going to be earned. But either way, 1 year deal, $3 million. That's a good number for him.
I just think it's a really good signing from this aspect. And it's a guy that's been in your system before, so he understands the terminology. He's played here before. Started his career here. He is in phenomenal shape. So it's not like this guy's showing up fat. Now he's got to drop 40 pounds to still want to play at the age of 38. He's 38. You look at what Dwayne Allen tried to give you. He was a really good blocking guy. See, Watson can block. He could give you that with Dwayne Allen. He'll give you so much more in a passing game than what Dwayne Allen gave you. The problem is you don't have Gronkowski on the other side. Dwayne Allen at least had Gronk. You know, so you have Austin Safarian and Jenkins. You got him now and Ben Watson coming back. And you got the Matt Lacoste kid. Just plus Devlin, and you try and make it work with the four of those in whatever fashion and formation you use. I just think it's a good signing because he's a good person. He's a good leader. He's a good worker. It's just good to have Ben back. I think the quarterback will feel a little more protected with him on the backside and some of the 80, 90, you know, 70 type protection stuff where you're keeping a tight end in. That max protection stuff. You're going to need that for that deep play action stuff, especially with the running game. And if you're going to run the ball the way we think they're going to run it, you need more blocking tight ends and better edge guys to combo those blocks with those tackles. And Ben should be able to do that.
So he's played 16 games in each of the last two seasons.
Played with Breeze. I mean, so you're playing in a passing offense.
He missed the 2016 season due to injury, but he played 16 games in each of the last 2 years in Baltimore and New Orleans. And so 38 years old, but going on 39, has been here before, knows Tom Brady well, played with him, started his career here, knows the offense. Good guy, good veteran leader.
Everybody will remember him for that play against Champ Bailey when he ran him down here. You know, that play in Denver. Oh, man. He lost that game. That was a phenomenal athletic play.
And Champ was out of bounds.
Yeah, I agree with that.
No definitive angle, but he got him, man. He got him. But anyway, long time ago. 14 years ago?
Yeah, it was like rookie year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Long time ago. Anyway, Ben Watson. Okay, good.
Good
signing. That's good, right?
It's a smart signing.
You're really expecting a lot out of Ben Watson, though?
I'm not. No, but it's a smart signing. I mean, I at least know the player. You know, I know what the expectations of the player could be.
He had 35 catches a year ago. If he had 35 catches again, wouldn't you be happy with that?
Yeah.
I'd be thrilled with that.
I don't think Dwayne Allen had it his whole career here. The tenure here.
I think he did.
Dwayne, I don't think he had 10.
Dwayne Allen. I'll tell you right now exactly what he had.
I remember the ones Brady would throw to flat. He almost break his ankles when he spun
around. Dwayne Allen had 3 last season and 10 the year before that for a total of 13 catches in New England. Yeah, if they can get 35 catches out of Ben Watson, we'd all be thrilled.
Yeah, I'd say good value. See, but I know the guy's going to work. He's going to work hard, and his approach is going to be good. It's going to be a Patriot-like approach.
That should be the number. Well, get him to 30 catches. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Get him to 30.
Yeah, you could stretch him down a seam against backers. Sure. You could run him down there. A little drag routes.
They still are a little thin at the position, though.
I agree with that.
It's not like they have a lot there. So I'm not going to be surprised if all of a sudden, if someone becomes free, you know, at camp cutdowns, if there's another veteran somewhere else in the NFL later in the summer that becomes available, that they're making a move to get him.
Is this one of those guys you have to worry about showing up?
And by the way, my X factor guy, like question mark guy, is Austin Seferian Jenkins. To me, he's boom or bust. Like, he could be good.
He could be
a real player, right. Or he could be out of here. Who knows?
Right.
So that's sort of an unknown.
He could be like that Thomas guy was at the tight end position for Denver, and then he gets the contract and just fizzes out. You know, not to say that he's going to explode that way, but and I've heard this too. Oh, you're bringing guys like Eric Decker. They brought in Eric Decker. Don't forget, in August or late camp. A guy that was like done, not out there, never had a team. Actually wanted a podcast, trying to preach, like to say, oh, well, yeah, I'd love to play Tom Brady. It'd be neat. Then you get here and you don't want to play. I don't think Watson's at that point, you know, to where, okay, he's going to get to camp and just say, you know what, I'm done. I give it up. No. He's on a tour. I think Seattle was in on signing him, too. So I think Ben still wants to play, unlike Decker, at the point when you got Decker in his career.
And Ben Watson had like 5 or 6 teams calling on him.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a market.
He had a real market.
He's not sitting there. He's not sitting on some couch at home at the end of July.
He's not begging for work. Another signing this week. Patriots signed a tackle. Veteran, Jared Valdir, now coming to New England. What does it say about their tackle situation? What does it say about their first-round pick of a year ago?
Yeah, maybe there's a setback in his recovery. It's a big guy that tore the Achilles. That maybe they do like. I know they like Isaiah Wynn. I don't know what the timetable is. This is also an indicator that, you know, you're trying to bolster some things just in case guys get dinged like Marcus Cannon. And maybe Cannon's not here for the long haul. You know, you move on from that position. You try and build it. They brought a 6'8 kid in, a couple months ago? Sort of that project was hurt. Now this is another one, but they're looking for that same Trent Brown type of build where you get a guy in, you're paying him $1.6 million. He's got some bonus. Hey, Scar.
1 year deal.
But that you got
churn and burn.
Scar, you got that room off the back of your garage still? Yeah, put the kid in there. Let's go. Let's get him up and going. Scar will coach him up. It's probably your starting tackle.
Who, Veld here?
Maybe, backside.
That's $6 million, though. 1 year, $6 million.
Up to, get 1.6.
Up to $6.5 million.
1 year for $6
million. $3.5 million is the deal, the base. Huh. Up to.
This is a 9-year veteran. He's got a ton of starts in his career.
Yeah, he's starting.
$1.25 million is guaranteed.
Starting.
$1.25 million fully guaranteed.
What you're going to be able to do with Wynn is move him around. Like, they love that one versatile guy, right? You look at it when Vollmer and Matt Light were here and they bring in Solder, and they're putting Solder in motion as a tight end, rotating 3 tackles. They like to keep tackles fresh. I think they've learned from their mistakes from, who was it, Cannon? Who the hell was the other one? Jumping off sides or false starts out in Denver, getting his ass beat.
I don't know. They're going to need a guard, though, because Joe Tooney's going to get $9, $10 million a year next year.
Joe Tooney hasn't missed a snap.
He's going to get $9, $10 million a year guaranteed.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as he doesn't fall off the map this year, that's what he's getting in the offseason next year.
So, find a new one.
Yeah, I'm saying Isaiah Wynn. Plug him in.
Oh, I get what you're saying. Just use Wynn as the guard.
If he's not going to play left tackle, then yeah.
They drafted a center, too, but, I mean, David Andrews is not going anywhere.
We're worried about guards now? We're worried about Joe Tooney?
Yeah, Brady said Andrews is the best center he ever played with. Ever.
Like, this team is never worried about guards. Like, never.
Andrews signed a team-friendly deal, though.
By the way,
you need much.
Remember all that time we spent on Bruce Ellington, talking about Bruce Ellington, you and I?
Yeah, that's nice, huh?
Yeah, he got released with an injury designation this week. Mm. He's gone.
That's a shame.
It's too bad. That was before we knew they were going to draft a receiver in the, you know, we're using a high.
Did you see the size of him when I get introduced? Like they, he and Robert, N'Keal Harry.
Oh, N'Keal Harry?
He looks like just his shoulders so broad. Like it looks like a linebacker.
He's a big dude. Whew. We've talked about this.
I know.
Anquan Boldin. That's the comp.
I like that. Love that player. I love that player. I always wanted the Patriots to sign him.
Mm. I heard him say he plays with his cleats in the grass. I like that.
That explains why he doesn't get any separation.
I like that. He goes, I'm a player who plays with my cleats in the grass. I said, that's good. It's a good way of explaining it.
Cardi, what do you play with in the grass?
Well, the guys who play with their cleats in the stands, they're unreliable. You can't do anything with them. Cleats in the air, again, no good. But cleats in the grass.
That's a decleater.
That's a guy you can get behind.
617-779-0985 is the telephone number. We got a couple other Patriots things, including the Globe no longer wanting the video.
Well, I thought this was journalistic. And
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.